This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
But I think it was a successful season. I'm very proud of the team, the players, the coaches, support staff, everybody. And I've already moved on. I've started watching tape. I'm immersed in college and pro scouting right now and talking about contracts and negotiations and different things. That's one of the blessings of my job is it's very seasonal. I'm in now one of my most favorite seasons, which is the off season, which is it's a misnomer because it's my busiest time of the year. But I love being a part of the solution, and that's what we'll be.
Eric DaCosta, end of season press conference, talks about being the solution. He loves the offseason. Well, the offseason is here, and the Ravens, the free agency starts next week, and we're looking at ways the Ravens can create some cap space. Jason, I want to start with the easy stuff, and there's some cuts that are pretty darn easy. Marcus Williams, gone. Arthur Millett, gone. And quite frankly, Justin Tucker, gone. That right there will create a little bit of cap space.
Yeah, I mean, not really a ton, though, because you look at their base salaries, look at their cap numbers. As you look at the dead cap, but
not a lot of money.
There's plenty of simple things they can do to go from the around $11.7 million that they have right now to really, it's up to them. They could create as much as they want if Bisciotti's willing to give guys their money up front and take those big base salaries and turn them into signing bonuses that are paid out over the next few months instead of paying them on, the weekly basis that they'll get in season. The way base salaries are doled out. So none of this is evolved. None of this is particularly difficult. It's just a matter of if they want to hide behind only having $12 million in cap space or create, pretty simply, that they could create $51 million in cap space without doing anything that's going to affect their short-term goals of winning a Super Bowl. In fact, it would open up, obviously, oodles of space if they were willing to spend that they could use on players right now to help put them over the top. So, yeah, like you want to trade Mark Andrews and save $10 million?
Yep.
We can do that. You designate Marcus June 1st to protect yourself from a cap standpoint. Just a simple restructure of Lamar. Now, we think they should do a completely new deal. But if you just take his base salary this year, convert it to a bonus, pay it up front, spread it out over the remainder of the deal, you create $15 million. That way in cap space. You want to do the same thing with Nnamdi, which I think as a guy you think is going to be here long term, there's no reason not to. Go ahead, do it with Nnamdi, create another $5 million. You want to do it with Marlon? You can do it. Just with a few voidable years and converting this year's base salary into bonuses, you could create $10 million that way. Now, I wouldn't do this. Because I don't know that you're going to want to keep paying this guy for years to come. But you could do the same thing with Roquan. If you think last year was a blip for Roquan, and he's going to be here another couple of years, so you're not worried about dead cap in 2026 or 2027, you could do that same simple move. You don't even need the player's permission to do it. Simple conversion of base salary to bonus and save another $10 million in cap space with Roquan. So just those moves will take you from 11.7 million in cap space to 63.3 million.
How much would it be if you just cut Roquan out? Because everything else kind of, like, I think we'd all agree we'd be down for the other
Roquan's
stuff.
Roquan's 9 million, so just subtract.
Yeah, it'd be 52.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You would be in position to sign multiple quality free agents and still be able to pay your draft picks and have cap space for your draft picks and all that. Like, does any of that feel particularly painful to you?
No.
Like a deep wound? Now, it might be painful to the billionaire who's got to stroke all these checks right now.
Well, yeah. I think... He's got it, though.
He's got it in droves.
He's got it.
He's got it laying around the yacht.
Yes.
The one that I would push back outside of Roquan, I'm not touching that contract, but Lamar, I'm just get the contract extension done now, because if you do the restructure, then his cap hit next year is going to be over $80 million.
Well, you can still keep kicking it down the road.
Oh, you 100% can, but at some point you're going to have to get it done because it's so cost prohibitive to have that cap hit on the books. And dude, that's where you just get proactive and you don't have to worry.
But if they're not willing to do that, and you really want to win this year, and you want to open up $15 million in cap space that you could then spend on a contract on a guy where you don't have to worry about giving him years that's going to burn you. You get one of these older free agents and you front load something and say, we don't care if you count $20 million against our cap this year because we're going to save 15 of it just by giving our quarterback his money 2 weeks from now instead of 5 months from now. They could do it.
Yeah. And they did it with him the last time, didn't they? They gave him a big signing bonus the last time. So with Lamar.
Lamar, yeah.
Yeah. They did do that the last time they signed the deal.
So, but I mean, would you do all that now and create this room and then not spend it and get called out on it? Or would you, and we're seeing teams making penthouse moves all over this league. Absolutely. Now, don't even get me started on just the teams that are doing the kind of lame cap stuff I'm talking about. There's teams doing real stuff, right? But if you clear out the space and don't use it, then people are going to be like, why the hell did you do it? If you just don't do it at all and whine about we've only got $12 million in cap space, then you're saving your billionaire money.
Yeah.
But none of this, again, is now, you could talk about what it means 2-3 years from now. Guess what? If you win a Super Bowl, nobody's going to care if you have a year where you've got to gut it to reset yourself. I'm old enough to remember you doing that after winning your last Super Bowl.
They really did it after the first Super Bowl. They completely gutted it. The year after they lose in the playoffs, the year after that, they gutted that thing.
I mean, it's just a matter of, are you willing to go for it?
Financially.
Or do you want to stand on the sidelines of the combine with Peter Schrager and say, well, I couldn't do anything if I tried. We got no money. We're up against it.
Last year,
which is a lie.
Last year, they really shied away from restructuring any of the deals. They didn't touch Lamar's contract. They didn't touch Roquan's, Marlon's, etc. Where this year, they have to, really, because the one big cap-saving move in terms of a cut/trade is Mark Andrews, but you're ultimately going to need more money in terms of signing your draft picks and the restricted free agent tenders. They're going to have to do some of these moves.
Well, like, what if you went and got a real pass rusher, and then you trade Elway?
You could do that, and you use that
to offset.
And by the way, we don't know what's going on, but Elway had some very cryptic tweets the other day, which, and again, I'm not an expert, but to me. And Jason, tell me if you think I'm going down the right path here. I think the Ravens and his agent spoke at the combine.
Of course, I mean, it would have been really silly not to.
And they did, and he did not like what he heard.
I don't
like,
think he's got another contract here.
Yeah.
So go get a real pass rusher and trade him for whatever you can get, and there's $13 million right there.
Yeah.
This isn't rocket science. This isn't nearly as complicated or difficult as they try to make it sound because they use the cap as a boogeyman. They want you to be afraid of it. They want you to not understand it. And they want to be able to wave it like a magic wand in front of your face whenever they want to have it skew any way they want. But it ain't that hard. If you really want to win, it ain't that hard.
Can I ask a question? Remind us how much the Eagles spent a year ago because I want to follow that up.
It was like, according to Spotrack, like 200 and I mean, I don't have the number.
They had a ton. Well, they just gave in the last 3 days, they've given Saquon Barkley and Zach Bond top of the market money at running back and inside linebacker.
Yeah.
So they're aggressive.
Well, to tell you how not hard it, not as complicated as we think it is, think of Joe Burrow, man. He became a capologist this offseason.
Joe is running the cap in Cincinnati. Yeah.
Well, and what I can absolutely tell you last year, no matter whose numbers you're using, is the Eagles had five guys making $21 million or more in cash last year, and the Ravens had two. And the Eagles had nine making $15 million more cash in cash last year, and the Ravens had three. And the Eagles had 11 players making $10 million or more in cash last year, and the Ravens had seven. Those are facts.
Something to think about as we close in on the new league year. Coming up next, how about the league at large? We got all pros getting traded. We got all pros getting extended. We have a lot of action in the National Football League. And what the hell's going on in San Francisco? It's league at large. Now,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Next here on The Fan.
We have started negotiations. We're talking. I won't go into negotiations like always is our stance. Want Brock to be our quarterback as long as we're here and beyond, and we'll leave it at that. I think the final thing, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so, and we've been able to do that. So.
It's John Lynch, GM of the San Francisco 49ers. And we've always said with quarterbacks, it doesn't matter who's up, it's when they're up. But it doesn't seem, at least Jason, what you're hearing is that that's the case with Brock Purdy, because he doesn't seem to be getting top of the market.
Well, I don't know what he's going to agree to, but I do know from someone who absolutely knows what's going on in this negotiation that they came in with him with an initial offer that averaged $45 million a year. I mean, this is when you got the Tuas of the world and the Trevor Lawrences of the world in the mid-50s, and you got Dak at 60, and they came at their Super Bowl quarterback at 45. Now, they're notorious hardline negotiators. They spent a lot of money over there for a number of years on a lot of guys who now are towards the end.
What's the name of that negotiating guy?
Prague Murat.
Prague Murat.
Prague Murat. And they like to thump their chest about how little guaranteed money they give out and their contract structures and all this. But they've obviously moved on from Debo. They gave Ayuk more than they wanted to, and they did a structure they don't usually like to do. So now they want to move him too. Trent Williams is at the end. I think Christian McCaffrey is at the end. I mean, I don't think Christian McCaffrey will be there in 2026. They want to keep Kittle around, but at their price. But yeah, they lowballed this kid big time. And, you know, it's a start of negotiations, and it is a negotiation. But when you start that far from the market, it's a sign to me that they're hedging their bets on Purdy. And like a lot of smart evaluators around the league that I talk to who think that Brock Purdy is more of a $35 to $40 million guy, especially when he no longer has the greatest cast in the world around him. We'll see where this goes, but there's definitely been a recalibration in San Francisco.
Like you said, still extremely early on in the offseason, but you would not be surprised at all if he plays out this final year with the franchise tag.
I mean, look,
it's very
this early. Pass rusher in Dallas just did a deal that nobody should ever have done. So, like, there become points in time where agents are worried they're going to lose the player and they're never going to make any money off the player. So you see players do things they shouldn't do. If they're looking at 45 to 50 and they're trying to say 50 is our high watermark, which they might, it's easy for me to say, you know, 50 times 4 or 5, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you're also potentially leaving a lot on the table. I don't know where that kid is, but if I was representing that kid and that's what they put in front of me, I'd spit in their face for a while.
Wow. Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're in the news. Before we tell you why, their GM Brett Veach talks about the importance of building the O and D lines.
I think, like, every offseason, I don't want to speak for all the teams, I think every offseason it's offensive line, defensive line. I mean, you got to get a quarterback, right? And so we have one, and we're blessed to have one. But I think if you look at how we've handled the offseasons, whether it was a Joe Tooney or trading for a Brown or a Taylor or Frank Clark or Chris Jones, I mean, it's Mike Dana last year. I mean, we're always investing in the offense and defensive lines. It's just some years you have more numbers to work with than others, and I mean, that would probably be a similar challenge this year, and it's just coming up with some different unique plans. But I think our priority is always on the fronts first, and this will be no different.
So he mentioned Joe Tooney by name, and Joe Tooney has been fantastic for the Kansas City Chiefs.
At multiple positions.
Yes, he even had to go to tackle this year because they didn't have a tackle, and did a decent job.
I think he started three different Super Bowls at three different positions.
That's incredible.
If you go back to his New England
Both
Patriots
guards
days.
And a tackle. Yeah, so he's got 4 rings. He's been to even more Super Bowls, but now he's the Chicago Bears. He was traded today to the Bears. It'll become official next week for a 2026 fourth-round pick. I know he's 32 years old, but he's an all-pro guard. Are you surprised they did this? B, are you surprised that's all they could get for him?
I'm not surprised they did it because they were trying to get an extension done with him, and once they couldn't get it where they wanted, what did they do? They tagged the other guard, and now they're going to pay the other guard. So a week ago, 2 weeks ago, before the combine, I would have said, you know, they think they can restructure Tooney at their price, and so maybe they can keep them both. They're certainly going to keep one of them. I would have put my money on Tooney, but
yeah,
that didn't happen, and Tooney had some leverage. And I'm sure Tooney's going to get more money out of the Bears from this.
Yeah.
He just played
they
as
have
a left
ton of
tackle.
Money. Yeah.
Yes. So, and the Chiefs want to keep the younger guard, which I get. And now the Chiefs, if they want to go get a left tackle, could do it.
I did find it interesting, though, because we've talked a lot about the Ravens spending. The Chiefs were top 10 in payroll last year. Every other year under Mahomes, 2017 through 2023, they were in the bottom half of the league in payroll.
They're not averse to bringing in elite free agents.
They've done it.
They've done it, but yeah.
They've drafted well, and they have and they have the best coach and quarterback in football.
Yeah,
you saw what,
and they got the quarterback signed early to a ridiculously team-friendly contract. I don't care what the numbers were, and you could say, well, he's going to renegotiate every 3 years, so he'll get his money. When you start out with over 10 years of, I think at the time he did the deal, there were still like two existing years. Yep. I think at the time they did the deal, they had 12 years of control. That's crazy in a sport where the average career is 4 years. To have 12 years of negotiating control over him as he's just entering his prime, that's a hell of a launching off point. Meanwhile, the owner here was down in front of all his billionaire buddies, saying, I don't think our quarterback even wants my money yet. He doesn't think he's worth it.
He said that to the
core four. And he's not worth it because, you know, he hasn't won me a Super Bowl yet.
Just for clarity.
There's that.
He said it to the Fab Four.
When he was down there at West Palm with all of his billionaire buddies at the owners' meetings.
The Bears side of this. Jonah Jackson had a bad year in L.A., but he was with Ben Johnson in Detroit, so he gets him now in Chicago. And Joe Tooney, we know how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think with Joe Tooney, you obviously... He's spent a long time in the trenches, so, you know, I guess there's some buyer beware in terms of thinking years down the road. I'm just fascinated to see what the Chiefs now do with this available money that was earmarked for Joe Tooney. Because that kid's not going to play on the franchise tag, so he's not going to count that much against their cap. Like, by July 15th, the other guard, Smith,
Trey Smith,
is going to have a lower cap number. So... I would think they would be aggressive in their pursuit of some veteran offensive lineman. And maybe the Ravens left tackle, maybe not.
He's still out
there. Maybe it's Cam Robinson. I mean, technically he's not out there yet.
But he hasn't been signed.
Yeah.
Max Crosby, you can take his name off the market. Monster extension with the Vegas Raiders. 3 years, $105 million, $106.5 million, $91.5 million guaranteed.
He may not be the best pass rusher in the NFL, but he's in that conversation, and he's certainly as diligent and motivated as any pass rusher in the NFL. He's the most difficult pass rusher in the NFL to get off the field.
Yeah.
This guy's playing 99.5% of the snaps every, like, multiple years. Now, at some point, you may want to build a better team and wean him off that a little bit. But the Raiders don't have a whole lot going for them right now, and they just hired a 73-year-old head coach. So
trading
their best player, trading their best player might not have been for draft picks. Might not have been the move. The problem for them is the options are very limited at quarterback.
They're also releasing Gardner Minshew, who beats the Ravens every year.
That's true. Yeah, if he stays out of the league, then that's one September upset loss.
How about you sign him as your backup quarterback, and then he can't be there?
What I would do is, if I'm a lesser team facing the Ravens, I wait for the schedule to come out. If we get the Ravens in September, I immediately sign Gardner Minshew, and he's going to play that game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see what
you're saying. I don't know who all they play.
Yeah.
Like, which divisions they match up with this year. Yeah. But if it's a crappy division and there's a crappy team in that crappy division that has a crappy quarterback.
It's a lot of crap.
And you see that you find out in the middle of April that we're going to M&T week four. It's Minshew time, baby. They got no answers for Gardner Minshew.
They do not. They do
in the
not.
Late fall.
No, they do not.
Forget about it.
Hey, real quick, Zach Bond, 3 years, $51 million. Eagles pounce on one of their own.
He will not be hitting the market, Gigi. We know that for a fact.
No, he will not.
Howie will not let Zach Bond hit the market. That's a fact.
He was a bargain a year ago, first team all pro.
You could look at Spotrac. You could look at Over the Cap. You could look at anywhere you want to go. That's a fact.
It's a Wednesday. Coming up next, we get our best bets with our guy, Tim Murray. He's from VSiN. He joins us next. Does he like the Terps tonight? He'll tell us next here on The Fan. We are efforting to get Tim Murray, and we'll have to replay that. Do we have Tim? We'll get him. All right. Yeah. So we're efforting to get Tim Murray. We'll get
him in the Hall of Fame, and all of a sudden he becomes hard to get. So
we'll have to replay that intro for
Jason,
him.
That's right.
Ben, assuming we get him on, can we reset the intro? Is that possible?
There you go.
Because that's the first time he'll be joining us since entering
on next level, bud.
And joining us now, can we hit the intro here? And joining us now from VSiN, one of the our newest class of IA Hall of Famers from VSiN, it's Tim Murray. And Tim, first and foremost, congratulations. Wow. I'm sure this is the biggest honor of your career.
Well overdue, Tim.
Long overdue.
You know, I've never been inducted into a Hall of Fame.
Yes, you have.
I'm still waiting on the day for Muhlenberg College to call me and tell me that my 100 career points or whatever it was and 4 career starts was good enough to get into the Hall of Fame up there. But, you know, this is a true honor. I had to make you wait, apparently, too. So.
Wow. That's why. Yeah. Yes.
I was sitting there. I was doing some work at my desk, and I'm like, well, I didn't get a DM from the fellas.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all right. I guess you don't need me today, but you had this big grand surprise.
Yes.
So,
Most people are lost for words when they get bestowed with this honor.
You know,
there's now 9
honored.
Of you.
Do you want to go into like a Ray Lewis Hall of Fame
I'm
speech?
Very honored. Yes. I was thinking of maybe doing like Bob Uecker style and just kind of ranting for about 15 minutes or riffing, but man. It is truly, I believe, this is my first Hall of Fame. I'm trying.
It won't
think.
Be your last.
No,
it won't be your last. Is it the Muhlenberg Mules? If it's not, it should be. Is it?
It is. Yes.
That's
yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. I believe the story is they were like the Muhlenberg Cardinals in like the early 1900s or something like that. And then the newspapers just kept calling them the Mules, and they're like, all right, whatever, we're just going to change it to Mules. So yes. I believe one of just 3 or 4 institutions out there of higher learning.
Now I want to see your mules. Logo. Like now I'm Googling it. Oh, it kind of looks like a bucking bronco.
Like a kicking mule type of
That's
deal.
That's a mule. Oh, I would not have guessed mule. I would think like a stampeding bronco. But yeah, I'm really not. I grew up in Highland Town. I didn't have a backyard, so I'm probably wrong on that.
That's a good point.
We had an alley, not a backyard. We played wiffle ball in the alley, but not mine because my alley was too small to play wiffle ball.
It is funny. So my backdrop in my office is rather tongue in cheek. So I have my jersey in the background.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
It's more for just kind of like
self-deprecating.
You know, I see all these Jason's pro
all
athletes.
Over that.
I wear all these pro athletes have their like, you know, played for the Ravens or wherever they start at in college. I'm like, hey, you know, I played a couple games of college basketball, throw that in the background. But yeah, it's there.
Once a mule, always a mule. It's like Raven for life. Yeah, I mean, you get a minute. You get off the bench even once, you're a mule for life, bro. There's no apologizing for that.
You know, it's senior day all across these Cowboys.
Yes.
Senior day yesterday, UNLV got a upset win over San Diego State. And I'm like, you know, my senior year, one start, and it was truly earned on senior day.
Well, it's senior day.
It's one more than this room got combined.
Yeah, that's
so.
True. That's true.
I started a color war in Camp Sky Lamar once.
It's senior day in Ann Arbor. And Michigan, 2.5-point favorites over the Terps. What's your lean in that one, Tim?
Ooh, yeah, this is a game, Tim, I have not bet. But, Michigan, I sort of wish Maryland was playing them on Sunday, like when Illinois went to town, because that was a primo spot, and it would have been a great spot to play Maryland, where you've got Maryland coming off of the devastating loss, Michigan coming off of their crazy comeback victory over Rutgers. I would actually lean a little bit Maryland. I have not, like I said, I haven't played this one. But what's interesting about this Michigan team is I'm trying to figure them out. And, you know, when you kind of look at these advanced numbers, the Ken Poms, the Bart Torvicks, etc., some teams are getting a lot of love. And that would be a Gonzaga, for example, who has been, for the most part, been underachieving.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't love Michigan, and here's why. They win close games, and they lose by a lot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of in the way. So let me just run through. Since January 19th for Michigan, they've won by 4-4, 3-4, 3-2, 3-3-2, and they've lost by 27, 13, and 20. It's bizarre. Like, and they're a good team. There's no doubt about it. They're a good team. They've got two bigs in Danny Wolf and Vlad Golden. Even though Danny Wolf's not your, you know, typical kind of back to the basket type of big, he likes to stretch it out, the Yale transfer. Vlad Golden is more of your kind of traditional big down low. But yeah, I mean, look, I really like this Maryland team. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I bet them to make the Final Four. Depth, obviously, is always a concern, I'm sure, as you guys have discussed at length about, you know, it's as good as a starting five as there is out there with the Crab Five. And I know they're going to have the – man, by the way, can I get one of those shirts?
Hey, we're trying to get one.
We were on campus for the last game. We couldn't get them.
Those shirts look sweet.
Yeah.
I got the little crab rocking on my car out here on the back of the car, so people know where I'm from. But I'm excited to watch this one. Don't have a bet on it, but it's certainly a spot that I'm intrigued to see if the Terps can take care of business here as you alluded to, Tim, 2.5-point favorite underdog.
We're talking to Tim Murray. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Tim, we've got conference tournaments going on, Sun Belt Summit, among others. So there's a lot of action out there in college basketball. Is there anything that's caught your eye?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to Arch Madness. Love this conference. I won't go full on into my my dissertation on how to fix college basketball because I can do it, which is it makes no sense to me that these one-bid leagues don't completely rig the field unless you're the Sun Belt. Shouts to the Sun Belt. I don't know if you've seen their bracket. Go check that out because that's incredible.
It's nuts. It's like a flying V sideways. I can't figure it out for the life of me.
If you're in last place, you still have a chance to win the conference. You just have to win 7 games in 7 days.
Wow.
And I'm like, good, because what people fail to recognize, and this is no knock on the MEAC, you know, but
don't you touch my MACtion. That's where I make my money.
But what they do wrong is they've got an 8-team bracket on a neutral floor. I'm like, well, what's the point of winning your conference?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you look at, like, you know, the NEC, which is where, you know, the Mount used to be in before they went to the Metro, you know, at least they have home court advantage. But all right, I've gone crazy into a dissertation here. I like Bradley at +340 to win the Missouri Valley. That's at DraftKings right now. I just think, you know, this is a very good basketball team. They're on the opposite side of the best team in the Missouri Valley in Drake. They've played Drake twice. They split with Drake. They beat them on the road by 2 in the last couple of weeks here. So I think Bradley at +340 is an intriguing look there. The other one that a couple people were kind of egging me on for, and I didn't end up getting to the window, and I was curious how much their number stumbled, was Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky in the Horizon League is at 28-1. So it's a super long shot. You know, they got to go on the road for the first round, or excuse me, the quarterfinals. They won yesterday, but if you look at Bart Torvik, they are the second best team in that conference over the last month or so. I think that's a conference that's pretty wide open. You know, their conference structure is a quarterfinal game on Thursday night, and then they reseed and they go to Indianapolis on Monday. So if they get that win and then you go and reseed, you'll probably play the one in Robert Morris. I think the most talented team is probably Milwaukee, who they more than likely wouldn't
play. And they match up well with it. They've matched up really well against Youngstown State and Milwaukee in that conference. Yeah. And they've been fishy line central. Even when Northern Kentucky was playing like dog crap, the lines kept favoring them, and they were coming through more often than not.
Embrace the stink, as we like to say.
I have trouble doing it, but yeah.
Well, I'll give you yesterday, the ultimate embrace was Texas A&M, and Giga Maggie was able to get us to the window as an outright winner. So I will give you one fishy line that I have bet. The market's moved a little bit here. I'm taking Ole Miss today at home against Tennessee. They're catching 2.5. This was 3.5 overnight. But this line, as you mentioned so eloquently there, JLC, this is very fishy. You've got the fourth-ranked team in the country in Tennessee going on the road to Ole Miss, who is currently unranked, and they're only laying 2.5, which makes you scratch your chin and say, what do they know here? Mm-hmm. But you've got a Tennessee coming off of a crazy comeback win over Alabama. That finish was unreal over the weekend. They win that game by 3. And Rick Barnes was hilarious, by the way, after that game. He's like, yeah, I was trying to call timeout. I didn't even see the final, you know, play of the game. And then you've got Ole Miss, who did snap their 3-game losing streak with a win over Oklahoma on Saturday, but prior to that had lost 3 in a row. So yeah, I like Ole Miss to win this game outright, but we'll take the points. So that would be the fishy line for me of the day. It would be Ole Miss at home catching 2.5 tonight against Rocky Top.
Tim Murray, let people know what's going on at VSiN.
Yeah, you can catch me weeknights on VSiN Primetime, but more importantly, as we get into baseball time, and you might be falling asleep to Masson or Masson 2.
Not well, for long, but yeah.
Hopefully you do. And, well, at least one more year. At least one more year. Yeah. You can catch the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on Masson 2 starting at 10 a.m.
Nice.
On Saturday. Lots of college hoops as we get you ready. It's a lovely time of year. And, gentlemen, I'm tapping the heart. I'm honored.
Yes.
I'm honored to be an inductee into the Inside Access
Hall
of Fame.
Well deserving. Your boy Greg Peterson's well on his way, by the way.
Oops.
Yeah. Dude, that guy's an animal.
That's one way to put it. He's a machine. An animal. He's a machine, my man. My man.
Every game.
Man.
Every game, he'll break down every... His Saturday podcasts are like six hours long.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And he comes around and there's 152 games on Sunday and he's got 4 hours and 48 minutes on that.
Love it.
Tim, thanks, buddy. Hall of Fame forever. We'll chat next week.
Love you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI with Tim. What you got?
Well, this TMI took a bit of a turn because prior to this Grayson Rodriguez news, it was, are we feeling any better about this starting rotation?
He's throwing 89 because he wants to. And, leave it alone.
We're going to get back into Grayson Rodriguez. How is he doing? The rest of the starting rotation. Look at the numbers of the starting rotation last year as well. That's next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. The floor is yours.
Well, we know to take spring training stats with a boulder of salt. And heading into today, Grayson Rodriguez, Eflin, Sugano, Kramer, and Morton combined for 15 and two-thirds innings, three earned runs. But then, of course, Grayson Rodriguez went out today and did not look like Grayson Rodriguez. The velocity was way down. His fastball averaged out at 93.2 miles per hour compared to his year-long average last year at 96.1. He gave up a double on a four-seamer in which he threw it 89.5 miles per hour.
By design, bro.
That Christian Vasquez hit a double off the wall. Now, Grayson...
That's exactly what Grayson wanted to happen then.
Yes. Grayson,
that's what spring training is for.
Just ask him.
This, according to Rock Cabaco, Grayson Rodriguez said that he felt sluggish, couldn't get behind the ball, even in the pen, lower velocity, again by design, like you were saying, Jason. He will let it eat later. Said it wasn't physical or mechanical, just one of those days, and that he would fight through it in a regular season game. Now, the spring training game just ended. O's beat the Twins 5-2.
Damn right they did, Bone.
We should expect Brandon Hyde.
Skipper made it there by the seventh inning stretch. That's all that really matters.
Brandon Hyde made it to the game an hour late. We'll hear from Brandon Hyde giving an update on
why he was late.
Once they catch him up to speed, I'll have an update for us.
And to be fair, we're not going to actually hear the sound. We will read you the sound.
No, that would
we won't read you the sound.
That would require someone down there
to read you the quote.
Standing next to the skipper while he does it, recording it, and then uploading it to a website of some sort for the media. That would be the heavy lifting required in that.
But prior to this news going down, I wanted to compare last year's starting rotation stats and sort of project this rotation, the Grayson, whatever the heck you want to call it, withstanding. But you look back at last year, and I was a little surprised even thinking of it. Corbin Burnes led them in starts with 32, hit the post every single time. Then you had Dean Kramer and Big Al at 24 starts each.
Big Al, 24 starts.
The guys that tied for fourth to round out the five, Cole Irvin with 16 starts. And Cade Povich with 16
Slim.
Starts. Now, 13 different pitchers ended up starting a game for the Orioles last year. And we've gone over the bullpen numbers, and we know that they weren't all that good. But part of that was masked because this starting rotation was able to eat innings. They were sixth in the majors in innings pitched, fifth in ERA. Now, I don't see them eating as many innings as they did last year when you consider Grayson, we know the injury history there, and Sugano, how many innings is he going to eat? But I guess the question would be, they don't have that top of the rotation guy, but as a whole, can they come close to providing what they were able to provide last year, where they were dealt with a lot of injuries? But heck, I don't even know anymore with this Grayson thing, because He's saying he's not hurt, but I'm still skeptical.
Well, I don't
think. Call him a liar, Bone?
I don't think.
I'm not
think.
Calling him a truther.
I'm going to go on a limb and say the bullpen pitches more innings this year than last year.
But I think the perhaps bullpen's
somewhat
be
significantly. Yeah, it should be. I mean, it better be. I thought the way they put this thing together, obviously, I'm on record, gave me significant pause. And the ability to manage a Grayson Rodriguez through a full major league season for the first time, because it's never happened, gave me pause. And Eflin towards the end of last year, and even just how they handled him in the playoffs, gave me pause.
He had an IL stint with the O's.
Charlie Morton at age 41 gives me pause, as much of a horse as he's been. And Sagano, everything that he's got to pick up on the fly and coming over this late in his career, gives me pause.
By the way, you want some more pause? Brandon High meeting with the media. Gunnar Henderson has a mild right intercostal strain.
Mm.
Hyde says he's, quote, very, very hopeful that Henderson will be on the opening day roster.
Ha!
That's
guess what? That's ominous.
I'm not.
That's a little ominous.
That's very ominous.
So, Hyder. That's why he was late.
Remember the drama-free Orioles spring training?
Yeah.
That was 24 hours ago.
24 hours ago.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, I asked Daniel Allen Tuck about it. I put it in the rundown for tomorrow. My spider senses were starting to tingle on Gunnar Henderson. I was going to give it till Friday before I went DEFCON without, because I'm like, if he doesn't play by Friday and they don't give any update, that's a problem. And if he doesn't play by Friday and they give an update, it's probably not going to be the greatest update in the world. And here we go.
And Westberg just needs one of your mattresses.
Well, eventually. I can hook you up.
Yeah.
I know some people. Sam, our sales guy, knows some people. Tracy at Mattress Warehouse was amazing. You get yourself one of these zero gravity mattresses like I have, Westy, it'll change your life.
Coming
if you've got dogs, your dogs will like it.
Coming up next, we look at the bullpen.
Mattresswarehouse.com.
After we hit the hot corner. How are we feeling
good
about this bullpen, and especially with the kid? Not only is there Gunnar bad news and potentially Grayson bad news, but we've got some Kittredge bad news.
How's
the bullpen? Well, he turned the knee and the thing and the stuff. So we'll get that for you next here on the fan.
I thought it's a nothing burger. Knee.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.